Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Tonight, transportation in Africa.
When I go to Nairobi, I usually take my bodaboda, and I'm very comfortable because in Nairobi, you get a bodaboda, and clean bodaboda, and nice bodaboda, and you will be just one person.
Every day in Africa, people commute to work using public transportation, and that is majority. For example, in South Africa, about 3.5 million people in urban areas use public transport every day. So, what are these mediums? There are so many different. We have taxis, we have bajaji, we have boda boda, we have tuk-tuk, and so on. But do the people of Africa stand too long to wait for these buses? Or are the commuters too hasty? What about the conductors? Are they caring at all? Well, we'll find out tonight. As usual, let's talk. We'll explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. And now it's time to welcome to our show my guests. I have DJ Easy from Nigeria. Welcome aboard, DJ Easy.
Hey, welcome, my brother.
All right, and of course we have our regular guest, Al Hassan. Al Hassan from Ghana. Welcome back, Al Hassan.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right, and of course for the first time we also have Alex Luketa. Welcome aboard, Alex.
Okay, thank you very much.
In this edition of Let's Talk, we'll be discussing transportation in Africa. Well, we all have been to public transportation in one way or the other in Africa. So I just want to know, how is the system and how do people commute every day in the continent of Africa? Well, I spoke to a fellow who is in VOA, Nadia Taha from South Sudan, and I wanted to know how convenient is transportation in the continent.
I've been in Africa, in East Africa and West Africa and Middle Africa and up to Egypt. The most difficult is it will be in the capitals, you know. Like when you go to Sudan or you go to Khartoum or you go to Nairobi or you go to Dar es Salaam or Abuja, you'll find that the transport is the most difficult, like because of the traffic. We have the traffic issues. So in Nairobi, most of the time, I like to take boda-boda because when I'm going to the job and the traffic is too heavy, for it will take time for me to get to my job if I'm taking the bus. But I usually prefer the work time to take boda boda.
Now, with boda boda, explain to me something here. We do know that boda boda is supposed to take two people and maybe maximum three. But in some cases, you've been in so many different places, as you mentioned, first of all. You've been also in war area, you know?
Yeah.
And even in urban areas. Tell me the experience with boda boda. Those boda bodas, my friend.
Actually, I have two accidents, boda boda accident.
Oh, my goodness.
One of them in Nairobi and other one in Uganda, Kampala. So when I go to Nairobi, I usually take my boda boda and I'm very comfortable because in Nairobi, you get a boda boda and clean boda boda and nice boda boda and you will be just one person. But in Kampala, usually you find someone else with you. So I had an accident in Kampala.
So how many were you in this boda boda? Because supposedly it's supposed to be two people, motorbike.
It's supposed to be two, but I end up being with the boda boda driver and my colleague and me. Because in Kampala, is like people are taking, like if you're going with someone, is asking you to take the same boda boda because they just take two people plus the driver, you know,
right.
We are three. And then, but you know, Kampala is like, the ground is not stable, like they have like some hills and things. So the boda boda, when you come from up, you just...
Tell me about it. I was in Kampala too a month ago and I saw what you're talking about. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like the Antepi side and this side, when you're coming, like the boda boda is like running too fast and you're three of you, and sometimes you just find like you're in the middle of hundreds of boda bodas are running.
Can you imagine?
And then they don't drive carefully, you know.
And they don't care how many cars in front or behind. Yeah, they can just cut and cross.
All the boda boda in the world in Kampala. Like you find hundreds, 200. So I had my accident in Kampala. But if you don't take boda boda in Africa, I can tell you, take it from Nairobi.
Oh, yeah.
Nairobi is piki-piki. They call it piki-piki. So it's really easy.
So and Nairobi is more comfortable and the drivers are more careful. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Even in Abuja, there is borders, but it's not a lot like Kampala.
Thank you, Nadia from South Sudan. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing transportation in Africa. Now, back to the studio. All right, Alhassan, I'll give you this to start with. What about you? How convenient for you is transportation in Africa?
As a Ghanaian, I'm talking in reference to Ghana. In the first place, Africa being a very less developed continent in relation to the advanced world where there are proper city planning, where demographic factors are considered into planning in terms of transportation infrastructure and transportation need of a particular demographic, we at a very great disadvantage when you compare to the advanced world. Transportation is not an industry that has a heavy capital investment from the government, generally, at least with reference to Ghana. Private individuals, right, who are heavily engaged in transportation, only being regulated by the government. It's only recently, in fact, when active political, campaigning started, when Ghana was transitioning to political, when Ghana actually got into civil rule and then competing political parties came into office, that some of the political parties considered public transportation, in their manifesto as a critical area that government has to get involved in order to ease the problem of commuting for workers. It's really a challenge.
Okay. Let's talk to DJ Easy and see his experience in Nigeria. What about you, DJ Easy? You visit Nigeria all the time.
Well, first of all, transportation system in that country, the people out there have to first of all work on the infrastructure, before they can start talking about building up transportation system in the country. Let's go downtown a little bit. First of all, the government have to commercialize the transport system in Nigeria, they're going to have a body that will supervise, the transportation system in Nigeria. But first of all, they have to commercialize it. Once that one is being commercialized, then individually can be able to push around the kind of system how they want to use it, then they should have a body that will actually, like a transportation system that is owned by the government that will get into it. But for me, actually, the roads and the infrastructure in Nigeria are really, really, really bad. They're not up to date, mm-hmm. You understand? And most mm-hmm. especially in an urban area like Lagos, there's so much traffic out there. And they have a very good kind of ways that they can use in building up the transportation system in there. That way, they can still as well build something like a subway, train stations, and some other stuff. But this time around, the transportation system in Nigeria is not up to date at all.
And subway is expensive system that will cost a lot of money to do it. But anyway,
but it's not like it's going to cost a lot of money. They need to get the actual people to do it because of one thing or the other that's going on out there. They won't be able to build up a good transportation system out there. Once it's been commercialized, then the system itself is going to work.
Okay. Well said, DJ Easy. Alex Luketi, you're from Tanzania. Tell me, what do you think about the transportation in Tanzania in regards to public transport, the boda boda, the tuk-tuks, the daladalas? How do you find it?
Firstly, I think the government needs to invest on infrastructure. They need to have very long-run projects that we should see like something to be biggest output in the future. And after that, I was thinking like other DJ Charlie say that we need to have set in a board whereby even if it will be 50 or 40 by government and the other by other people owned by public and owned by individual, whereby we see like it will be so easy and transparent about this infrastructure and transportation. since the government is the one who controls the infrastructures and transportation sometimes, mm-hmm. that's why we see like there's no any improvement in case of this infrastructure. And nobody care about it. It just become like a label, like the way we are living. Okay, let us live like the way it is. Let us the way we go on. And since the way Africa, the way we are, and the way the, our government works, citizens are so cowardly about saying anything to the government, because I'm sure everybody from Africa understands what I mean when he's saying citizens are so coward to to say anything about this. And another thing I think is education. Mm. Education to the drivers, education to the citizen, education to the leaders. We understand, like, in Africa, politics become like a business. People take politics or to be a politician like a businessman. Everybody is there just for his own family or his own generation. That's why you can understand even this biggest project about infrastructure never goes anywhere because nobody cares, you see. But if we could, like, people could do something, I've been there, I want to be. That's why I normally say, like, many people, they should be leaders in history, not to be leader of history.
Hold it right there. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. Welcome back. Some public transport takes a lot, and sometimes you ask yourself twice before boarding to a boda boda or a tuk-tuk while traveling from one place to the next in Africa. So, I spoke to Semugenyi Suleiman from Kampala, Uganda, and I wanted to know his take.
Kampala, you rely on motor vehicles, it takes time to when you choose to go faster than any other public, meaning you have the borders, these motorcycles, because they don't normally take you long when you are in a queue or in a jam. So it is very easy for the borders to go anywhere in town.
And since borders can go everywhere in town, they just cut into between cars. When you take the borders, do you think that you're safe?
It depends on the rider and it depends on the passenger. So what you do before you are taken by the borders, you have to give him your orders. But be like this. But in the case when you simply sit on and he decides whatever, you can be caught in an incident. Sometimes they don't have helmets. So it's almost risky, but it is easier. So you have to choose any, whether you take the risk or you go earlier, but at least you have to the orders, the cyclists.
What about if you travel around with these city taxis?
So my taxis here, all the taxis here, there are so many in town. We have narrow roads. So remember, Kampala roads, most of the East African roads are not on plan. And even if the roads are clear, there are not on potholes. Even if you come to when you reach Kampala, even in the state center, you have to find the potholes when you are in the state center. So well, during the rush hours, it is very terrible. So you either get out of the taxi and you walk instead of taking the time in the taxi. So it's better to take the border instead of remaining in the taxi, and either you get late to whatever for your appointment.
Thank you, Semugenyi Suleiman from Kampala, Uganda. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing transportation in Africa. Dunia nizamishi, ama uniweke niishi peke yangu. Kwani, ninapomwamini kila binadamu. Mwishowe, ananigeukia. Dunia nizamishi,
ama uniweke niishi peke yangu. Kwani ninapomwamini kila binadamu mwishowe ananigeukia. Nimtazame nani, nimwamini nani, nani wananigeukia? Vigeugeu, vigeugeu, vigeugeu wananigeukia. Namwamini daktari sana amponye rafiki yangu, anamweka kwenye life support machine. Kumbe aliaga ni pesa na kusanya. Mama mzito anamwamini mkunga, mzalishie mtoto baada miezi tisa. Mkunga anamgeukia, mtoto anamgeuzia. Niki haso juu chini ili nifuke boda, wananigeukia. 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 Nimtazame nani, nimwamini nani, nani wananigeukia? Vigeugeu, vigeugeu, vigeugeu wananigeukia. Mwanasiasa aliniomba kura, akiniahidi yote atatimiza. Baada miaka tano anarudi na kitambi bila kutimiza. Nina pasta kajirani yangu, nilimwamini kufa na kupona. Nikitoka kwangu na yanaingia kusali.
This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host Sunday Shomari in our Washington studio with Al Hassan, DJ Easy, and Alex. Right now, we're discussing transportation in Africa. And back to the studio. Question to you, Al Hassan. You're traveling from one place to the next in a public taxi or a tuk-tuk. They call it tuk-tuk in Mombasa. And in Tanzania, they call it a boda boda. So what do you think? You have this motorbike. Yes, yes. It's a big motorbike. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In northern Nigeria, interesting. In northern Nigeria, this is a very popular, you know, both in the south and the north.
Especially Okada, especially because of a lot of traffic.
In Nigeria, they call it Okada.
Uh-huh.
In the northern Nigeria, they call it Achaba.
Uh-huh.
Achaba. Achaba. That is how they call it. And then the same Okada. As far above on Ghana, Ghanaians are now, the Okada system of transportation has become popularized in Ghana. Just of late. You know, it used to be just slow, but now it's more predominant in Ghana too.
Yes.
And then in Togo, across the border, I think they call it Zemija or something, or Zemija. So this is a very popular bus that is sweeping across West Africa. And
not
I
only
think
West Africa, it's all over Africa, actually.
It's all over Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only West.
Yes, all over Africa, right? But at least we are talking in reference to our region, specifically my area. So this is, and you see, to some extent, to those within the ring of this sub-industry, I would say, see it as a very effective way of doing stuff, taking people from one location to the next. But there are a lot, it comes with a lot of negatives, with a lot of downside. No, what if it's raining? Does it mean that, you know, you have to, just because you have, you need to move from one, you know, one location to the next, to go to work or get home from work, then you have to subject yourself to the elements, you know, and it gets wet, you know, you can help it. You can hide somewhere. You have to be on your way out. I mean, just quite recently, I saw a technology where they've actually turned this motorbike, this border system. They've put a cover on it, like the way the car comes in the form of regular vehicles.
Very popular in Mombasa, they call it tuk-tuk.
Oh, that one is popular in Mombasa as well?
Yeah, in Tanzania too, it's very popular. Tanzania, they call it bajaji.
Yeah.
Oh, bajaji. Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be, it could always be improved, but it's about policy direction. If the government, the Minister of Transportation just gets involved in it and kind of fine-tune the industry, you know, to help them regulate it. The government policy can get involved, engage the industry, make it safer, right?
That's the most important thing, to make it safer. I believe that.
Do we have to start going backwards? Africa is such a beautiful continent, you know?
Yeah.
And Each country in Africa is rich in resources and everything. People in Africa, we're rich. People are making money from we Africans. So they are sending us all this jambazi and all kind of okadas for we to start riding, thinking that we're doing, we happy and we have means of transportation. But we can as well sit down and build ourselves up and say, look, we do not want this. We want to have the real transportation. You understand what I mean? So it's like we are still bringing ourselves down. We got to try as much as possible to come up and say no. And no is a no-no. I was watching I was watching a TV this morning, this evening, when I saw the space, whatever. This is a cargo space that is going to the space. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, it's like if you have a flight that say this is a cargo flight flying to Africa, what do you think this flight is carrying? It's carrying all kind of goods, right?
Right.
You're taking them to the space. This is what America is all about. They're flying to the space to make the world a better place for us to live. They're taking stuff out there to make us be able to communicate, sell our phone, and all that. Why can't we sit down and make use of our resources? Instead of bringing all this jamba-jamba, jamba-jani, okada, and all that kind of stuff, we can eliminate that and say, no, we want to bring the real transportation back into Africa.
This is debatable, very debatable, because, look, in every society, there are segments of people. Nobody is the same. You know, everybody is not the same, and we have different levels of income, different levels of life.
My brother, let me ask you a question.
If you say transportation, there are several advantages behind Okada, the use of Okada.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's allow Hassan to finish, and then we'll come in. Allow you to come in, Alex.
Is it mobile? You know, it can escape a lot of traffic. It's not every area that an Okada can go, that a car can go. You know that?
I understand. Let me tell you something. Somebody.
For effectiveness, you know, for efficiency, of course, a lot of people use Okada. You know, but then, of course, there is a downside. What if it rains, the element? You are going to be on the element, right?
What I'm trying to say is somebody started Okada. A country started it. And every other country picked it up. Okada might be called Okada in Nigeria. It might be called, I don't know what it's called in your country. Yeah. But if somebody starts something brand new, believe me, every other country in Africa will pick it up.
Yeah.
You understand? Just like somebody started a cellular phone in Africa, every other country are picking it up. So if somebody starts something new and say, look, this transportation is from Ghana to Nigeria, from Nigeria to Tanzania. It is safe, it's nice, and it's convenient, and it's comfortable for everybody. Believe me, every country will invest in it, and they will start it up. Just like somebody start using Okada, and all the whole countries are using it. You need to look at the disadvantages of Okada. People are not being trained to drive a motorcycle. They don't have no elements. You know, they get in an accident, you're done.
And just to add, I just want to add to what DJ Easy was saying here. The biggest thing that I learned myself, I was in Uganda last month. I was so worried because those drivers, they just cat into traffic. Right. They don't care whether there's a car in front of them, behind them. They just go. The same thing happens in Tanzania. There's a lot of accidents where people get through these Okadas and Boda Bodas. But Alex Luketa, I want you to say something.
I like to say that we need to remember that we are living in a capitalism world.
Okay.
We have income inequality. We have many people who are different income level. So when you are talking about Boda Boda or
Okada,
motorcycles or Okada, we need to think about, as DJ explained, that Africa, we still have those opportunities. We still have many opportunities to do. If anybody try to do something which will be new, it takes the advantage of using Boda Boda or Okada. For me, I was just thinking, like, first, it is employment. Many people are employed themselves instead of staying without any kind of job. Another thing I would say, it's very cheap. You can see anybody can move any place so fast. It's cheap and fast. Compared to taxi, if there's a traffic, you need to wait for a certain period of time. But you can see Boda Boda just is taking one, two, three. You rush away. So you understand other people with money sometimes they use Boda Boda.
Mm-hmm.
But if we come to disadvantage, there's a lot of disadvantage more than advantage. If they don't have license, it means they don't have education. And if they don't have education, they cause accident. And if they cause accident, we see many people nowadays, young, like between age of 20 and 30, they don't have legs. They become dependent. So if we think those advantage and disadvantage of Boda Boda or Quada, it's better even this is they call it a bajaji, somehow three wheels, it's somehow it's so hard to get accident.
That is relatively safer. That is better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one is
especially those ones that come with a cover on it. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
There should
sure.
be a seat belt. You know, around where the way it's built, the structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's in terms of safety, it will be way better than the ordinary car.
But we need to think about how does the government help citizens to be safe. That we need to think.
The government regulation, definitely. Government has to partner that private sector by setting standard in terms of safety, you know, new rules and regulation, you know. Mm. Yeah, because it's an industry, if it's well-packaged, well-managed, it could really, really be a very serious generator of revenue for the government.
Well-regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
this is the thing too. To piggyback on the point made by my brother from Nigeria,
DJ Easy,
infrastructure is key. Also, if I may add, our architect, our city engineers, now it has come to a time when our city engineers have to factor in demographics in terms of planning transportation. Do a better job. Our statisticians have to do a better job of have a general idea of the population that are in need of public transportation.
And that is very important. As you said, safety, transportation, regulation, all that is very important.
Exactly.
All right, hold it right there. Tonight on Let's Talk, we are discussing transportation in Africa. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back.
Why are we the blue?
A British man who received worldwide attention for wrestling a shark away from kids on an Australian beach has been fired from his job as a result. When 62-year-old Paul Marshall C. made the Dang rescue, he was actually on sick leave from his job in Great Britain. Marshall C. and his wife worked at a children's charity fund, and they took a 2-month break from the jobs, claiming work-related stress. However, when the charity trustees saw the video of him shark wrestling, they decided the couple had been dishonest and fired them. Marshall C. insists that the stress was real and went to Australia on the advice of his doctor. This is Camila DeShalis, Washington, D.C.
Thanks, and that's it for our show tonight, where we lightheartedly explored transportation in Africa. A big thank you to our guest on the phone, Nadia Taha from South Sudan, and Semogeni Suleiman from Kampala, Uganda. And of course, a big thank you to my guest right here in the studio, Al Hassan. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be here.
Alrighty, and of course, Alex Luketa, thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you very much.
Our producer, Jackson Mvungani. Send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. After the view announcement, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in. And join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be
etiquette.
Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Modu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.